Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and welcome to another episode of Our Community for KCIW, your community radio station. Today's show is the second in a series about the Sutter Coast Hospital conflict. And with me today to give his perspective is Sutter Coast Hospital CEO, Mitch Hanna. Welcome to the show, Mitch.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into the issues, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, your background, where you came from?
I am a native Californian, born and raised in the Southern California area.
Where?
Pasadena.
Oh, I lived in Pasadena.
A lovely community.
It is. Well, it was back
yes,
in the 80s. I don't know how it is now.
Too crowded for me now. Yeah,
exactly.
And went to high school there, went to college at UC Davis.
Okay.
And then went on to law school at the University of San Diego. And then got my master's at USC. So I kind of traversed the state for my education.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I actually was interested in international business and wound up going overseas with a healthcare organization, which is now Tenet Healthcare, so a for-profit company.
I've heard of it,
Working in their legal department, and when I came back to California, I stayed with them for a couple of years in the Southern California area, and then it just got too crowded for my wife and myself, and we decided we wanted to raise our family in a little bit less populated area, so I took a position with Memorial Medical Center in Modesto, which is a nonprofit hospital company, and I was their general counsel and chief administrative officer. And ultimately, we chose to affiliate with Sutter Health. And working for Sutter Health, I progressed into an administrative role as the CEO of Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital in Auburn, California, which is...
Now, where's Auburn?
Auburn's in the Sierra foothills, about 40 minutes. You can tell I'm a Californian because I measure things in time and not miles.
Yeah. No, I know.
About 40 minutes east of Sacramento.
Okay.
And then about a year and a half ago, when we had a little bit of a lapse in our CEO coverage here, I volunteered to step in and assist at Sutter Coast as well. Unfortunately, our then CEO, Linda Horn, was taken ill. And so I stepped in on what was going to be an interim basis, but actually the system was pleased with the synergies of basically being able to share best practices from multiple affiliates. And actually, they're deploying that model elsewhere in our system now as well. So I am the CEO over Sutter Coast Hospital and Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital.
So you have one foot in one place and one
foot
in the other.
It's a broad territory. I feel very blessed because I must share with you when we were looking at affiliating with Sutter Health, and I was kind of looking at, you know, where their operations were. And I thought, boy, the two places that I would really like to work were Auburn and Crescent City.
Seriously.
And I'm thinking how blessed I am.
Yeah, you got it.
Such beautiful geography and actually communities.
Now, Auburn, does it get hot there? I'm thinking...
It usually is about 5 degrees cooler than Sacramento. So, yes, it does get hot.
We will
have, in the summer, usually about 15 days that are over 100 degrees.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
So it must be really nice to be able to come to the coast.
Oh, absolutely.
And get some cool air.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good. Excellent. So those of us who live around this area are very familiar with Sutter Coast Hospital, but not so much with Sutter Health. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Sutter Health is a not-for-profit healthcare company, and we deliver high-quality healthcare services and personalized care throughout Northern California, Southern Oregon, to the extent that we serve the people of Curry County. And actually, we have a psychiatric hospital in Oahu. So
really?
That's the one location outside of the state of California.
Yeah,
and in recent times, we acquired a few ambulatory surgery centers down in the San Diego area. But other than that, our real scope of territory has been Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
So we have about 5,000 doctors who are affiliated with our system, approximately 50,000 employees.
Wow.
24 hospitals, 5 medical foundations, and 34 outpatient surgery centers.
Wow. Yeah. I remember when I was living in Sunnyvale, California, I'm pretty sure that the medical facility that we used, and it wasn't the hospital, it was the doctor's facility. I'm pretty sure it was a Sutter Coast facility, and they were excellent doctors.
Probably Palo Alto Medical Foundation.
I don't think so. It's in Sunnyvale. El Camino, maybe.
Oh, El Camino Medical Group.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Is that a Sutter? Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah, yeah. Excellent doctors. So Sutter Health is sort of the corporation that Sutter Hospital is under?
Yes. Sutter Coast's sole community member is Sutter Health. So while we have an independent board here, a board of trustees that's made up of community members, we have Sutter Health as the sole community member of the corporation.
Okay, so I thought that the board of directors was appointed by Sutter Health. That's not accurate, or it is?
Well, recommendations are made here locally to Sutter Health.
Okay.
They approve those board positions.
But okay. So what are you and the hospital doing to expand services at the hospital?
Oh, gosh, we're doing quite a bit. I was actually just at the Del Norte Board of Supervisors meeting this morning talking about that. In January, we opened a 10-bed acute rehabilitation unit in Crescent City on the hospital site. And so that provides services to patients who might be post-stroke or post-traumatic injury, where they have to learn to walk again, to learn their mobility skills,
and they're
speech skills
in the hospital.
Yes,
doing
they are.
That's
typical length of stay is about 12 to 15 days.
Okay.
So, you know, previously those folks were having to travel to either the Medford area or to Eureka for that care, and that's a bit of a hardship on
a
family when you're there that long.
Absolutely,
it's not just a day trip sort of
absolutely.
Thing.
And especially when you're dealing with older patients, you know, it just, everything becomes, I know now, since I'm actually a senior citizen, I know that everything just seems to become more difficult when you're
sure.
a senior. You don't really want to do all that traveling.
Sure.
Yeah.
In a more proximate location, we are opening an outpatient imaging center here in Brookings.
When?
Yes, it's scheduled to open April 20th.
No kidding.
Now, that's depending on the state because,
right.
of course, we have to get the licensure. But construction
right.
should be done, and we will be offering CT, mammography, ultrasound, and X-ray.
So oh,
four
my
modalities
word.
There. And if you are familiar with the location on 5th Street where the Dr. Layton practice,
yeah.
it's right next door, immediately adjacent. In
excellent.
Fact, we are currently in the process of purchasing that building.
Oh, excellent.
With the hope the VA is planning to move
right.
to a new location.
Right.
And our plan is to take over the location where they currently occupy and start having specialists up here on a more regular
oh.
basis.
You
Again,
have no idea.
Well,
that's such music to our ears.
Sure. And you spoke to it, seniors in particular, but I think all people like to receive care locally as much as possible. And to the extent that we can avoid that 20-25 minute drive to Crescent City.
Which always turns into more than 20 or 25 minutes. I mean, I don't know how that happens, but it does. You know, I know that if I have to go down to Crescent City for an X-ray, I'm looking at 2 to 3 hours.
Sure.
That's just the chunk that gets taken out of my life. Whereas if I can just go right up here on 5th Street, we're really looking at only about a half an hour or so, which is huge.
Sure. Absolutely. Other things that we have on the horizon, I hope to be actually presenting to the board on Thursday, if we have the business plan completed, a proposal to enter into a land lease with Sanderlin Dialysis Services to open. We will build a dialysis center on the campus of the hospital.
Wow.
They will own and operate the center itself. That is not our area of expertise throughout
mm-hmm.
the Sutter system. For the
mm-hmm.
most part, we do not provide our own dialysis services. We contract with or
right.
contractual relationships with dialysis providers. But the benefit to us is for patients with renal disease, we will be able to get offer dialysis services to our inpatients. We will be able to receive telenephrology consultations. So our hospitalists in the hospital, if they have require a consultation on a patient who requires nephrology care, they can get that telephonically. We'll hopefully be able to reduce the transfer out of those patients. And of course, patients locally will be able to receive their outpatient dialysis. And again, you know, those are patients who oftentimes have to travel 3-4 times a week
to
dialysis to Medford.
I know.
And
yeah.
So we think that that will be a real benefit to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately adjacent to the dialysis center, we will be opening an infusion center. So outpatient infusion for our patients who require chemotherapy mm-hmm. or have some sort of autoimmune disorder and require mm-hmm. Administration of antibiotics.
And when do you think all of that's going to happen?
We hope to get approval from the local board this month, at which time we will take that forward to the Sutter Health Board for funding.
Mm-hmm.
And we are optimistic that we can have the project completed and operational by first quarter of 2017.
Wow. That's going to make a huge difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, really huge.
Absolutely. In the meantime, we've got some very significant physician recruitment underway. Having said that, I will share with you, it is very challenging, not just here, but especially here, to recruit physicians in this environment.
We are rural, but
there's a shortage in any case, and the Affordable Care Act, you know, the positive side of that, providing greater access to patients,
mm-hmm.
There aren't enough physicians to serve that population.
No
so we're
kidding.
being challenged by that. But in addition, it's taking 6 to 8 months for a physician from the time they start the process to actually get licensed in California. So we have physicians who have already contracted
mm-hmm.
who are still waiting for licenses, and we contracted with them back in October and November of last year.
Wow.
So part of the challenge there is the fact that they may find another opportunity
mm-hmm.
in the course of time that it's taken them to get licensed in California. But those positions that we're currently recruiting for are hematology, oncology, and of course that will tie in nicely with our infusion center.
Right.
Because many of those patients are cancer patients. Ear, nose, and throat specialists, cardiologist, general surgeon. We actually hope to have a letter of intent out to a general surgeon. This is kind of exciting because he and his wife had already looked at the Brookings Crescent City area, and his wife happens to be a nurse practitioner who is going to be working with a dermatologist who's planning to set up a clinic in Brookings.
Nice.
And he would join our staff and would work through the hospital's community clinic, would also provide services. We're asking him to get licensed in both Oregon and California so he can provide hours up here in the mm-hmm. Brookings clinic as well. And then a pediatrician, another OBGYN, a urologist, and another family practitioner. So we've got a busy schedule right now in terms of interviewing physicians, reviewing resumes, and
mm-hmm.
and scheduling them for visits. The folks at Black Trumpet Bistro, I know, see a lot of us now because we oftentimes bring the physicians up here.
And it's good food, so.
In fact, I got a ticket when I was bringing one of our orthopedic surgeon candidates up here to Brookings for dinner.
And How did you get a ticket?
I was going, I guess, a little bit too fast.
A little fast.
And I was pointing out the sights to him. And we were trying
and one
to
of the sights.
We were trying to get to Cafe Catanici that night.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
In any case.
That's unfortunate.
Right.
One of the sights was the police car. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Well, it sounds pretty darn exciting.
It is. And we just went live with our electronic health record on Saturday, March 5th.
And what does that mean?
That means that instead of paper charting now of the care that a patient receives, it's all being done electronically. That means if you, let's say, are hospitalized here and then need to be sent out of the area for care, they can have access to your health record, and we don't have to, you know, photocopy, scan, and do all that sort of thing.
Thank goodness,
it's,
right?
It's actually a much better, safer way of providing care.
Right.
It kind of an ancillary benefit is it will free up, you know, sorely needed real estate in the hospital where paper records are stored.
Yes.
So we can use those spaces for, and it's expensive space, of course, because it's all, you know, licensed. So we will be able to use that for.
I chuckle because I think about how much space in my house is devoted to to paper.
Right.
It's terrifying. I mean, really, you know, there must be a whole room that is basically old records.
Yes.
Like, really?
And that's even after computers.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I know. It's crazy. So how does Sutter Coast Hospital benefit from being part of the Sutter Health family?
Oh, gosh. In so many ways. We share best practices. I will give you a very current example. We have the Joint Commission survey. That's a triennial survey, unannounced, where surveyors come in to look at your hospital, make sure you're doing everything.
Unannounced.
Unannounced.
Yeah.
According to all of the regulations. And we have our own team within Sutter Health that comes into each of the hospitals, usually, and we're expecting our survey sometime in June. The team came in, I think it was back in November, and conduct a survey, a mock survey, if you will, and share with us the areas for improvement, mm-hmm. things that we need to do that we're not doing, or the mm-hmm. things that we are doing that we shouldn't be doing, that sort
right.
of thing. We share best practices in terms of lessons learned, what we call a no-do share. Let's say that there is a near miss or an adverse event in a hospital within our system.
Mm-hmm.
We blind that. We don't say where that occurred. But
right.
we share the experience with all of our other affiliates mm-hmm. so that they can learn from that.
Excellent.
And if there's a process that, you know, caused that, so we can change that process.
Yep. Excellent.
We have, in fact, I was sharing this with the Board of Supervisors earlier today. I think one of the challenges of being independent still and having our own board is that we don't fully realize the benefits of systemness, if you will, because our operating units have their own experts, for instance, in pharmacy and imaging and, you know, areas that laboratory
mm-hmm.
that really require a fundamental, significant knowledge of that particular
right.
area, and not being part of an operating unit, because, you know, we still maintain our separateness, we don't have as much access to that. And mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. that would actually be one of the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of tangentially have access to it because Sutter Auburn Faith is part of an operating unit, so
right.
I always kind of take what we what we learn there and bring it here.
Right, right.
So I think that's certainly a benefit, and frankly, the funding.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, a hospital like Sutter Coast would probably not survive without the financial backing of Sutter Health. You know, many people have love to talk about the $10.6 million that the hospital made in 2014,
mm-hmm.
substantially less, about $3.2 million in 2015. But there were many years where we were losing money.
Hmm.
And just this electronic health record investment, $23 million,
mm-hmm.
we are currently putting in fact, it should be completed March 30th, 128 slice CT scanner. That is state-of-the-art technology that most hospitals in the country do not currently have.
Wow.
So to have that level of technology here, mm-hmm. and the benefit to the patient there is, one, it's very fast, mm-hmm. less than a minute for a full-body scan. Two, it exposes the patient to a significantly lower dose of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, this isn't our parents' health environment anymore.
No.
You know, we are going in for dental x-rays, for all sorts of different imaging treatments. So we are being exposed to radiation at a far greater level than prior generations.
Right, right. So that sounds great. Yeah. So let's turn our attention to the hospital. What is the current state of Sutter Coast Hospital?
I think it's solid. I think if you look at our dashboard, employee satisfaction, very high. Physician satisfaction, not so much. And I think that's really driven by a few physicians who have kind of focused, if you will, on whatever they could find to complain about or criticize and not on the good work that's going on. Our quality is really very good. Now, I've heard people comment about a high mortality rate. Our mortality rate is not significantly higher than the rest of the hospitals in the state, but I will share with you there are challenges in a rural community.
Sure.
One of those being that we don't have hospice in Del Norte County.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas patients in other communities might be discharged from the hospital and then be admitted to a hospice setting, oftentimes in our hospital, they remain in the hospital. And so that affects your mortality rate. But if you look at recent recognitions from the Joint Commission, Sutter Coast was recognized as a top performer for pneumonia, surgical care, VTE, stroke, perinatal services, and immunizations, which basically means that we are in the top 30% of hospitals nationwide in terms of our outcomes for those diagnosed.
So I'm curious why there's no hospice. What's...
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that,
yeah.
And I will share with you that that's a service I hope to get started. We have home health, which is on the hospital's license.
Right.
But historically, there has not been hospice in Crescent City. At Auburn, we have home health and hospice.
Right.
And they're actually operated by the same manager who oversees both services.
Right.
And so that's an area that I hope to get operationalized. I've just got a lot of competing priorities right now.
Yeah, well, of course, you can't do everything, right? So you've already talked about recruiting more physicians, which is excellent. And what is the status of Sutter Coast's critical access designation? I know that that was a potato for
a
while.
That issue precedes me. I think the concern at that time, the hospital had been losing fairly significant amounts of money for the past several years, and the concern was the viability of the hospital. So as I understand it, a consulting group was retained that specializes in healthcare consulting, and their recommendation to a group of community citizens who were appointed to serve on a task force was to move the hospital to critical access. At that point in time, the hospital's average daily census was running between 12 and 15. If a hospital converts to critical access, and by the way, critical access designation was created by the government because they knew that small hospitals in rural communities might not survive otherwise. Critical access requires that a hospital be of 25 beds or less, that they not be within 35 miles of another acute care hospital, which Sutter Coast is not. But the significance is a difference in reimbursement methodology. They reimburse hospitals for Medicare patients based upon cost. So they pay you 100% of your costs as opposed to a diagnosis-related group where you get a fixed fee for a pneumonia patient.
Mm-hmm.
And many hospitals, particularly in California, because of the cost of providing care, the cost of labor, et cetera, lose money on Medicare patients. In rural communities, guess what? The majority of the patients are Medicare patients.
Yeah, I would think that would be true.
And so that's why that designation was created. There was obviously a hue and cry within the community about what was perceived as a reduction in services. In fact, it's truly not a reduction in services. We could be doing all these other things that you and I just spoke about as a critical access hospital. The only change in terms of the scope of services is your acute bed size is capped at 25 beds.
Right.
At the time, I can understand why they were exploring that because their census was as low as it was. My concern and the reason why I recommended to the board and the board actually voted to hold off or withdraw the process or the application for critical access designation was because if we are successful in recruiting more physicians, that census may be at a point where it's above 25. We don't have an average daily census of 5 or 7 as many rural hospitals do.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was a little bit closer to that cap level. So my feeling was let's put it on hold for the time being. And since then, we've actually written a letter to the California Department of Public Health and withdrawn our application. Essentially, that application was submitted 2 years ago. It is stale now. We now offer different services.
Right.
We have a 10-bed acute rehab unit.
Right.
And by the way, the acute rehabilitation unit does not count as part of the 25 beds.
Ah, okay.
So we could still have essentially 35 beds if we were to pursue critical access.
But I would think with the addition of these other physicians that in these different areas that you're thinking of, I would think that more and more people will be using that hospital.
I would think so, too. And I did not want to be in a position where we're sending patients out of the area for lack of beds.
Mm-mm.
It's one thing to send patients out of the area for lack of specialty care.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we might like to have those specialties, it is, and I've listed a lot of specialties that we're focusing on, but it is going to be a chore to fill many of those positions. ENT, ear, nose, and throat specialists, across the country, hard to recruit. Gastroenterologists, tough to recruit. And I didn't list GI because I don't think we could be successful in recruiting a GI at this point in time. And quite honestly, we have some general surgeons who do most of our GI work and do it very well.
And why do you think that it would be hard to recruit them? Are they just hard to recruit in general because there's not enough of them?
Yes, and they are heavily, heavily sought after.
Right.
And actually urology as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can show you hospitals across our system that are recruiting those specialties without success because they are very sought after. There are not enough coming out of schools. It's going to be a challenge.
Because I would think that if there were enough doctors, who wouldn't want to live in a beautiful area like this?
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, except that, of course, we know that there are lots of doctors who don't want to live in a remote area, so that they
or doctors' spouses.
Yes, exactly. They want to be able to shop.
Right.
Shop until they drop kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's very exciting. I, for one, am thrilled that it's not going to critical access because I know that my husband and I use that hospital a lot, and I want more and more people to be able to use it, you know.
And we share a common goal there. As I've shared with some of the physicians who have been our adversaries in the past, I do not want to see patients have to leave the community. I want to do whatever we can, and some of it may be telemedicine, which is becoming more and more popular.
Well, that's an interesting topic. I mean, that's a whole another way of doing medicine, which I think is very exciting as well.
Absolutely. I mean, telepsychiatry is becoming a big area now because there are so many psychiatric patients that are showing up in hospital ERs, and they are so difficult to place.
Yeah.
They wind up kind of clogging the ER, for lack of a better term, and the patients who really have an acute need.
Yep.
Not to say that those patients don't have an acute need, but they have an acute need for a service that we are not licensed to provide. We are not psychiatric hospitals.
Right.
And so to the extent that we can utilize telepsychiatry, help treat those patients, identify what interventions need to happen and get them discharged, the better for all patients.
It's really very exciting. It really, really is. So if somebody listening wants more information or wants to know about more of the services that are going to be offered or any of that stuff, is there a place that you can send them, either a phone number or a website or anything like that, where they could find out more information?
They can certainly access the Sutter Coast website. They can call administration if they need specific information.
Okay.
I am happy to give out my email.
Great.
And
feel free.
That.
Feel free to say it.
It's hannahm@sutterhealth.org. H-A-N-N-A-M at sutterhealth.org. And to the extent that they have a question or a concern, if I can answer it, I will certainly do so. And if I can't, I will forward it to somebody in the organization who can help them with that.
Yeah, that's super. Thanks, Mitch. So is there any last word you want to get out here?
I'm just really looking forward to seeing that imaging center open in Brookings.
So am I.
Won't be long.
I can't tell you how much fun that's going to be.
A few rehab in January, imaging in April, and hopefully I'm going to be saying dialysis and infusion in January or February of 17.
I love that. Well, thank you very much, Sutter Coast Hospital CEO Mitch Hanna, and really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us your perspective.
Again, I appreciate having me.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. If you enjoy these podcasts, please go to our website, kciw.org, and become a founding member to help us get on the air. We're only a few thousand dollars away, and any donation, large or small, will help us get there more quickly. This is Candace Michelle for Our Community. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.
The opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.